Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning, and I want to talk a little bit today about something really. It concerns Charles Stanley out of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm sure you folks have heard of Charles Stanley. By and large, overall, he's a very, very good preacher. Charles Stanley's wrote some good books, preached some really good sermons, good teacher of the word. One thing I disagree with him on, and it's not something that that we certainly fight over anything, but it's just a disagreement. That is the eternal security. Once saved, always saved. And I've talked about that before, I know, on the radio here, in numerous articles and whatnot. But recently, Charles wrote, he wrote another book. I'm trying to think if I can remember what the he wrote another art book anyway, and in this book called Eternal Security, Can You Be Sure, is what it is. He really stretched the gospel, and I really hate to see that, but I believe he really did stretch the gospel. Sad to say, but the teachings, I find the teachings of Jesus to be relatively simple to understand. Now, that certainly does not mean I understand everything. I do not. There is so much to learn out of the Bible. It's the most complex book in the world, but yet it's a simple message. There's just so much to learn, and I learn every day. Every time I listen to something, every time I read something about the Bible or in the Bible, I learn things. But I believe that Charles has missed the point in the Bible, and that's something that I really hate to see. But, it happens with a lot of people when they get into the once saved, always saved, eternal security doctrine. Now, in 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." That's 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, that's an interesting passage of scripture there, folks. Paul, he was the Jewish apostle Paul, the same one who was converted, by the way, on the road to Damascus. You know, he was a former murderer of Christians, and he's the one who wrote these words. So I think the first thing and that we need to understand is that we need to understand who Paul actually was and where he was coming from, that type of thing. I think that's real important that we understand this. But Paul, Paul knew what it meant to not be in step with the Lord. He was a Christian persecutor. Like I say, he murdered Christians and he knew what it was like to be deceived, that's for sure, because Paul was deceived for all those years until he had the experience on the Damascus Road where he met the Lord for the first time and became a follower, a believer, and trusted in Jesus and became a follower of his. He was a Pharisee, a Jewish Pharisee, and, if you took a look at Paul's life, I've read it, seen it printed and read where a lot of theologians believe that Paul was a very moral man in his way. He really thought he was doing right. But in God's sight, he was actually just a religious man. And there's a huge, huge, well, it's like night and day, folks. There's a lot of religious people who are not Christians. And there's a lot of Christians who aren't religious. And I think we need to understand that religion is different than being a Christian. You can, your religion can be money. Your religion can be Satan. Your religion can be a preacher. You know, your religion can be a Methodist or a Baptist or a Lutheran or Episcopalian or Presbyterian or an Assembly of God. You know, that you can say, oh, my, that's my religion. Well, no, those are all man. That means you're following something that man has put together. To be a Christian is very simple. A Christian is a person, male or female, doesn't matter, a person who follows Christ. That's what a Christian is. They follow Christ. They don't follow the Methodist Church. They don't follow the Baptist Church, in the sense that they don't put their denomination ahead of Jesus Christ. If they do that, if they allow their denomination to have more power over them than the Lord, then of course they're lost sheep. Now, like I said, Paul's a man who, was grateful for the mercy shown to him. I guarantee on that day on the road to Damascus, I guarantee you, he is so grateful for the mercy the Lord had on him. He was a murderer of Christ's people. It would have been righteous for the Lord to just strike him down dead. But he had a plan, and he saved him from his own destruction, the destruction the devil was leading him down. So Paul, from that day forth, it became his desire that other people would learn about the Lord, come out of the deception from the false teachings, and come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So, you know, you have to understand who Paul is. And in the verse that I read you earlier, it's talking about, you know, the latter days, the latter times. There'd be some who would depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines. Now, keep in mind those words. Now, the Greek word for depart in that passage is the word, and I don't know how to pronounce all these words, so I'm going to do my best. Apistemi. And it's defined as follows: to remove, instigate, to revolt, to desist, desert, depart, draw or fall away from, refrain or withdraw self. So my answer to a lot of the people who talk about eternal security is that the Lord made it very clear, as clear as, water, clean water, that there would be times, there would come a time. Now, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. We're talking about the Spirit of God here. So please understand, this isn't some demon spirit or anything else. This is the Holy Spirit. It says, Paul says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, meaning seriously. Listen to me. I'm making a point here. He said, that's what that means. He said that in the latter times, so in the later days, some shall depart or fall away from, leave the faith, because they heeded to the seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. Now, my question has always been to the once saved, always folks, and I love every one of them. It's just a disagreement we have. I have some very, very good friends and associates who are Baptist, who believe in the once saved, always saved doctrine. They're wonderful people. We don't argue about that doctrine. We just, agree to disagree. They know my stance, and I know theirs. We've talked about it numerous times. And they don't change their mind, and I certainly haven't changed mine. I believe what I believe, and they believe what they believe. But besides that doctrine there, we're pretty much all in the same on the same page. Now, Paul tells us that the Spirit of God had spoken. And I, like I said, I told you the Greek word asphistemi is, to draw away from, fall away from, revolt, desist, desert, depart, remove, all of that. So, and he was talking about people who truly knew the Lord at one time. And to know that that's what who he was talking about, he said that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That means some shall leave the faith. leave from the faith, it says, shall depart from the faith. Now, I've always asked this question, and I continue to ask it to this day. An unsaved man cannot depart from the faith because they never had the faith to start with if he's unsaved. And that's one of the biggest arguments with this doctrine that people believe is that, well, they weren't saved to start with. Well, who's Christ talking about? He's talking about some people who have already accepted him will now fall away from the faith. Why on earth, ask yourself this simple question, why on earth would the Holy Spirit of God and of truth come forth with a warning in the Bible now, a warning for all of us for eternity to learn and learn from, a warning about the unsaved departing from the faith? The unsaved can't depart from something they never did have a part of to start with. It's impossible. I cannot drop out of the men's choir if I've never been in the men's choir to drop out of it from. I can't depart from the choir if I'm not in the choir. Now, I can refuse to go and get in the choir. That's a different story. I can refuse to have anything to do with the choir. That's a different story. But I certainly cannot go up to the choir director and say, I no longer want to be a part of this choir. I want to depart from it. They would look at me like I was nuts because they would say, Bob, you've never been in the choir. What do you mean you want to leave? You've never been in it. I'm confused here. Well, and that's exactly my point with the once saved, always saved doctrine. How can you depart from something that you were never a part of? And how can the unsaved be seduced away from a place of faith that they were never at to begin with? Why would Satan, why would anyone be seduced enough by a belief to leave something, someplace, or some belief that they never believed in to start with? That again is impossible. Now, why would the devil come with his doctrines to seduce the unsaved? Listen, the devil already held these people captive already. He already holds captive at his will. I believe that's 2 Timothy 2:26. Let's see what that says. We're going to look it up real quick. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, here we are. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who had taken captive by him at his will. Who are taken captive by him at his will. So, if the devil's already got these folks snared, they don't believe in Jesus, then what would he gain by telling them, hey, stop believing in Jesus and start following me when they're already following him because they don't believe in Jesus to start with? It makes no sense, does it? And one thing that happens in all of this, folks, is that it's really, really a spiritually dangerous thing to take scripture and to make it say something that it's not saying. An example of what can happen when you try to make scripture fit into your own theology is very simple. The book of Matthew 25:14-30, part of it says, Jesus spoke about the parable of the talents, and he was speaking on the subject of the kingdom of heaven, and he ministered about being ready for his coming. Jesus shows us the fate of the unprofitable servant in these following verses. And it looks like I'm about out of time. So listen, let's pick up tomorrow at Matthew 25:14-30. And let's give a study on exactly what that's talking about. And let's try to see if we can't get to the bottom, of is there a, once saved, always saved. Is that scriptural or not? And let's learn a little more. Listen, love you. God loves you. We'll see you in the morning, folks.